Fans, we have a special segment coming up brought to us by Volvo Cars of Walnut Creek and Nation's Giant Hamburgers. This past winter, Bill King, legendary Bay Area broadcaster, received the highest honor given to a baseball broadcaster when he received the Ford C. Frick Award for Excellence in Broadcasting from the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Bill King began his career behind the mic during World War II with the Armed Forces Radio Network, recreating games for the troops. Bill brought games to life with his lively phrases and use of language, perhaps best remembered for the exclamation, "Holy Toledo!" when a particularly wild event happened. Bill began his Bay Area career in 1958, joining Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons on the original Giants broadcast. Over his six-decade career, Bill described the action of the championship seasons of the Warriors, Raiders, and Athletics. Bill King meant the world to me. When I started my show in 1998, he was always there to give me encouragement, but most of all, respect for the work I was doing, interviewing those connected to the game while chronicling the oral history of baseball on a daily basis. Bill's door was always open to me. He was a dear friend, and I miss him every time I walk into the ballpark. His passing in 2005 was one of my saddest days, but what a life he lived. Bill's love of opera and ballet. Bill was an accomplished and wonderful artist, an expert in Russian history, a voracious reader, and an accomplished sailor. Those were just some of his loves away from the park. I'm thrilled to play for you some of my conversations with Bill over the years. Just hearing his voice makes my day. He never wasted a word, and his use of language is unsurpassed. Now here's Bill King talking some baseball with me. Holy Toledo!
Well, one of the more memorable things, and I was really a hardly dry behind the ears broadcaster, in the spring of 1950, and I was broadcasting the three I-League games. That was a Class B league, a Yankee farm club in Quincy, Illinois. And we were training down in the Ozark Mountains, a place that was just a little sleepy resort at that time. It's Branson, Missouri, which, of course, now is teeming with that country music syndrome. And that's where I first saw Mantle, as a matter of fact, in the spring down there. But we came back to Quincy to play an exhibition game against the Yankees, the world champion Yankees, and the parent club. And it was a very exciting time, all these young kids going back to play. And the Yankees were on the way back from spring training, making their trek across the country by train, as many of the teams did, eventually getting back to their home base. And so they came through St. Louis. I went down, boarded the Yankee train to ride up to Quincy, which is a ride, I guess, of, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. And I was really bug-eyed because here's Phil Rizzuto, and here's DiMaggio, and here's Coach Bill Dickey. And the most impressive time of all was spending about a half hour in his compartment with Casey Stengel and one other guy who was the old sports writer on the paper at Quincy. Stengel was everything you ever heard about him, speaking Stengelese in these long, convoluted dissertations that might last 10 minutes in answer to one question. But he was very, very engaging and very accommodating, and he didn't put anybody down because we were small-town types. As luck would have it, eventually, the game was rained out. A tremendous cloudburst just before the game began. A big disappointment for Quincy, Illinois. But while we were talking in his compartment, I asked him if he would be willing to do an interview for our pregame show and, you know, tape it in his hotel room. Now, in those days, tape recorders were huge box-like things that were, about 2 feet long by a foot and a half wide and a foot and a half high. So you had to have an engineer to lug it in. So he said, "Yeah, kid, come on up to the hotel." You know, and he gave me a time. So the train pulled in, and I'd had a chance to do interviews with Rizzuto and Vic Rashi and people like that. So I went at the appointed time, knocked on the door of Stengel's suite. This big, tall guy opens the door, and I told him who I was, and he said, "Come on in." And then I about fainted because it was Bill Dickey, who was, of course, a coach by then, great Hall of Fame Yankee catcher from the powerhouse teams of the 30s and the 40s. So Stengel, you know, he says, "You want some lunch, kid?" So he ordered lunch, and we had sandwiches, and he talked. So we sat down to do the interview. I asked two questions in a 15-minute show, and he took it from there. I asked the initial question. He must have rambled about 8 minutes. I asked the next one, and he took it right to the end of the 15-minute show. That was one of my more vivid early memories.
He was a great manager, though, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He really innovated the platoon system. That was his creation. And he was criticized a lot for it, even though he had success, because it transcended the basic old traditional idea of a set lineup.
As your career went on, and I talked to you a little bit about this last year, I realized that you were in Lincoln, Nebraska, when Dick Stewart hit his 66 home runs, which was certainly a milestone and the most ever hit, I think, at that point.
Yeah, it was not the most. There was a guy who hit 69 one year, I think 1949. Name was Joe Bowman, down in one of those leagues down in Arizona, New Mexico, down that way. But, yeah, it was a fantastic experience to be involved with. We had a terrific ball club. This, by this time, was an A club in the Western League. And teams like cities like Wichita, Omaha, Denver, and so on. Very, very good teams. And we had, I think, seven or eight guys from that club who eventually spent varying times in the major leagues. One of them right now is the pitching coach with the Milwaukee Brewers, Don Rowe. Our general manager was 28 years old at the time, was Dick Wagner, who later was the president and general manager of the Cincinnati Reds. And in fact, at a recent party in Phoenix during spring training, at his house, we had a great time reminiscing about some of the things that went on with that ball club. But Stewart was a very lighthearted, very confident, cocky, almost arrogant guy. But at the same time, he had a winning smile, and he kind of put himself on a little bit. And he was really so confident that year that he was actually predicting when he was going to hit two home runs in a game. Ludicrous stuff like that.